Who's better between Terrace Marshall Jr. and Brian Thomas Jr.?
It's tough, dog, just because we haven't really, I mean, we haven't seen Brian Thomas Jr. in the NFL yet. But realistically, they both are about the same, if I'm going to call it a buck a piece. You know, they're both 6'2", 6'3", athletes, over 200 pounds.
Vertical threats.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, all in all, I would want to say Brian Thomas Jr. Just because... at least he's been the most active lately. I've seen her on the field the most. So I'd want to say him. But I mean, dog, like, I just feel like with these LSU receivers nowadays, they're either going to be like the cream of the crop, like we've seen with Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, or they're going to be some sort of shade of Keyshawn Boutte or Terrence Marshall Jr., like you had just said.
Boutte was Boutte.
He really wasn't great, was he?
Wasn't the best thing on the field.
Yeah, bro. I mean, had a lot of hype for him, though, realistically at first. Like, I mean, obviously there were some character issues at the end of his stint there at LSU, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, though, like, I honestly thought he was going to be kind of dank.
He looks like Mike Williams on the field.
A little bit.
He looks a lot like Mike Williams, and I don't know if it's because he's, like, the deep threat, you know, number two receiver on his own team. But I really like him on the Jaguars or the Bengals. And the reason I say those two specific teams is...
and you're talking Brian Thomas Jr. here?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the NFL draft, if he ends up going as the wide receiver 4, right now in fantasy football, he's being drafted as the wide receiver 4. And I'd assume it's not that far off from the NFL boards. If he goes at 4, so he's the 4th receiver off the NFL draft board, the Bengals and the Jaguars both pick at picks, I believe it's 17 and 18. And both have great... quarterbacks who need a receiver, and Brian Thomas has the upside to be a pretty good receiver, Dugo.
Oh, most definitely. I think that he would honestly flourish as... I think he's probably best as a 2. Mm-hmm. I think that realistically him playing next to Malik Nabers opened up doors for both of them. So that's what a really good complimentary wide receiver will do for you. So having someone like him on the other side, Jamar Chase, or... I mean, if you look at the Jaguars, they got rid of Calvin Ridley, so it'd either be, why the hell am I blanking on his name?
Christian Kirk?
Yeah, it would be Christian Kirk or even Evan Engram, damn near.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, dude, having Brian Thomas Jr., a guy who runs 4.3, a guy who is 6'3", 211 or some sort of poundage, it's over 200, though, so he has some...
that's good.
Size to him. Yeah, that's exactly. Good.
See, I could see him coming into Jacksonville and kind of taking over like that Zay Jones role.
I could see it. Yeah, absolutely. So you'd probably see you'd see Christian Kirk possibly turn into more of that Calvin Ridley role.
I think I see Kirk more so as like a slot receiver.
Okay, yeah, no doubt.
Gabe Davis was signed by the Jaguars this offseason.
Yup.
And they have, you know, Zay Jones, who Gabe Davis and Zay Jones are both down the field kind of receivers. If they brought in Brian Thomas, it's almost the same offense, but I think Brian Thomas has better hands than Gabe Davis, and he's faster than Zay Jones.
I realistically just don't think that the Jaguars would go wide receiver in the first, though.
If they did, I don't know how they feel about their offense, but I would like him if Brian Thomas Jr. landed on the Bengals,
mm-hmm,
or the Jaguars. I'd like that a lot.
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, I could also see him landing somewhere. If you want to call a buck, I could possibly see the Cowboys.
Cowboys would be crazy.
I could possibly see the Cowboys. I mean, they don't have Michael Gallup anymore. They've honestly been struggling to find that number 2 for a little bit now.
Brandon Cooks ain't it.
Brandon Cooks is gone.
He ain't it. And that offense...
I don't know if he's gone, but yeah, he definitely ain't up.
In that offense, we talked about it a million times, but they have a West Coast style of offense. You need that deep threat receiver, and Brian Thomas could be that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't hate that at all. Another receiver I want to talk about was actually Xavier Leggett. receiver out of South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah, University of South Carolina. This cat, I don't know, bro. Like, he's all over the board when you look at people. When you look at the message boards, everything about this cat, it's pretty polarized. It's either one thing or another with this guy.
Yep, he's either a boom or he's a bust.
Exactly, and honestly, if I had to throw my money on something, I'd probably most likely say it's going to be more of a bust than anything.
Mm-hmm. Tell me why.
I just, when a buck comes to a buck, bro, you know, call a spade, it's harder being an NFL wide receiver than it is a college wide receiver. And at the end of the day, this cat really had one good year of college football where he had over, I think he had over 1,000 yards. I think it was 1,200 yards on like 70 receptions. So like he had like a hell of a year, right?
Yeah, he had a pretty good year.
But the guy's also 23 years old currently, and I'm sorry, it was his like fifth year in this program, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So it's weird that it's just now coming to fruition for him. I don't think it was just a growth spurt. So all in all, I don't love that the guy is just a 1 year star. It gives me a little bit of a Treylon Burks type vibe, if I'm gonna be completely honest.
Yep.
I mean, it seems like he can go up and catch the ball, but it also seems like he's not always extending his hands out.
Yeah.
To the catch point. I mean, obviously that's nitpicky, but this is people coming into the NFL. So you got to evaluate him for what you do. I think that he could be decent. There's some people out there that think that they could utilize, or when he gets the NFL, he could be utilized as a rushing threat like Deebo Samuel.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's exactly going to happen or not, but you might as well try to utilize the cat however you can. He's a really good kick returner, so he has a little bit of burst and agility to him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, what are your thoughts, Shahai? I mean, I kind of like him, but I'd probably think he's going to be a third-round pick probably in the NFL draft, and in your fantasy drafts, I could probably see him being like a third or fourth round pick, honestly.
Xavier Leggett's probably one of the most interesting prospects in this draft class because he looks so much like Deebo Samuel. Now, we want to talk about one good year. A couple years ago, Deebo Samuel had one of the best years in all of fantasy. Xavier Leggett, he's either going to boom or he's going to bust. Pause. And regardless of either which way it goes, it's going to be an extreme. So if he busts, it's going to be an extreme. Pause. If he's going to boom, then, you know, that's a whole other thing. But one thing that's eerily similar to Deebo Samuel is his ability after the catch. Like, when he gets the ball in his hands, he's playing bully ball, bro. He's trucking you. He's knocking you over. He's running through contact. Debo's a 6 foot, 215-pound receiver who does what he does. Xavier Leggett is 6'1", 223.
6'3".
He's 6'3"?
6'3".
That's what his, like, scout?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And he's an athlete. Like, he's one of the best athletes on the field. Now, one thing about Deebo Samuel when he came into the league is that when he was learning how to, I don't want to say learning how to run routes, but when he was early in his career, he ran a lot more down the field plays. He even does to this day, but, you know, a lot of his game was like a lot of deep post routes, a lot of, you know, streak routes on the outside.
He was also a slant god for a season too. Don't forget that.
That's how he got his Yak title. And Kyle Shanahan really was able to scheme him open. I think Xavier Leggett needs to go to an offensive mastermind, and I don't know any better than Kyle Shanahan. If he ended up somehow, some way on the San Francisco 49ers in the second or third round, and Deebo Samuel, who's coming up on the last year of a really big contract, you never know if Kyle Shanahan just says, oh, here's this guy I can train up for a year and then have him replace Deebo. If he goes to any of his disciples, like D'Amico Ryan's in Houston, or he ends up in Minnesota, he could be a weapon. I think a lot of those guys watch Kyle Shanahan and know how to utilize an athlete like that at the slot. But regardless, whichever which way he goes, it's going to be great. My head says that he's going to be a bust, but my gut tells me he's going to be oddly useful, and you would be doing yourself a service to take him in like the third round.
No doubt. And let me just correct myself, because you were correct with the 6-1 verdict. I must have been reading some misinformation.
Okay.
So I just wanted to let you get your flowers on that.
Yeah.
But nah, dude. But like the thing about it as well, I mean, we could ramble all day. I mean, there's 32 NFL teams, right? And I would say just about 30 of them probably need a wide receiver at some in some sort of capacity. This guy could probably fill that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, I just don't know how successful he will be. I hope he is because, I mean, you could definitely get this guy for a steal. I think he's, like you said, he's definitely an athlete. I just don't love how there's been zero production and then just all of a sudden this guy's fifth year and he's finally going off.
Right. It makes you question why.
Yeah. So, I mean, I look back at Debo's stats when he was at the University of South Carolina. So he had a really good sophomore year. Junior year, I think he was injured, so he only played like 3 or 4 games. And then senior year, he had another pretty decent season with 800 plus yards. So, you know, like, well, he was at least pretty consistent. This guy, no consistency at all other than being consistently bad for the first 4 years.
So a lot of Xavier Leggett's weaknesses, at least according to a scouting report, is he lacks a lot of like the refined receiver skills. So what are refined receiver skills? How do you get off of the line of scrimmage? He's not great at that. He's kind of not good at just battling off the line of scrimmage despite his size. He's not really a developed route runner. It's a lot of seams. It's a lot of deep posts. And he also struggles to work back towards the ball, meaning his awareness level as a receiver maybe isn't where you need it to be at a professional level. So it's a lot of like the raw refinement. It's coachable.
And I don't want to interrupt you, but that's like what sucks about it, because like this is a guy that we are preaching that he goes down the field and makes all these crazy catches.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally just because of the luck of him turning his fucking head around. Like, he has no natural feel for that.
Exactly.
So that's just what I don't love about it.
I guess some of that stuff is coachable, right? Like, you can teach it. You can coach a guy to work back towards the ball.
Yeah. And, well, a lot of the stuff in the NFL as well is a lot more timing, I think.
Yeah.
Like, college, stuff like that. Like, obviously, it's just getting the feel for stuff. But there's some timing involved. In the NFL, everything is down to a fucking millisecond.
100%.
So if you can get that coached into him, then yeah. If you just say, hey, 1, 2, 3, get your fucking hands up, and ball's going to be there, then sure. He might be able to. But, I mean, we say it with every guy, it seems like he has some focus drops, right?
So 100%.
It's just one of those things that at the end of the day, when you have all those things battling against you, I hope it works. And I hope this guy could possibly find his way somewhere like the Dolphins. I mean, he runs a 4.39, so I mean,
that's not bad.
Kind of fits that scheme, right? And he's a bigger size, so it would be nice to have someone that's over 6 foot on that team. So
even the Panthers would be interesting with Dave Canales. But okay, so we talked about Brian Thomas Jr. today, and we talked about Xavier Leggett. I want to take it over to running backs for just a second, and I want to talk about 21-year-old running back Jalen Wright out of the University of Tennessee.
I like this cat, dog. He's been good for the last couple of years, especially with that run last year when you had the really good Tennessee team where they beat Alabama.
So many weapons.
Dog, it was just crazy. And yeah, exactly. He had so many weapons. I really like Jalen Wright, though. He's kind of that do-it-all back. He has some shades of Aaron Jones, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Shades
of Aaron Jones.
That was actually going to be my comp.
Okay, hell yeah.
That was going to be my comp for him.
So let me, obviously, we both really like Aaron Jones, everything like that, but I want you to tell me a little bit more about why you like Jalen Wright himself as a prospect.
He's explosive as all hell. Like, he was a 3-star recruit coming out of high school, so nobody really expected this guy to be much. The last couple years at Tennessee, he went crazy. I think last year he rushed for over 1,000 yards, had a few touchdowns, only one fumble. He runs aggressively when he needs to. He identifies the hole really well. When he gets in the open field, he outruns everybody else on the field, meaning he has that boom. He has that acceleration to make big plays happen, which
4.38 speed, folks.
That's what you love to see. And Jalen Wright as well, I think he has pretty decent hands. I didn't get to see too much of his passing work at the college level. Obviously, I think at the NFL that kind of gets more, that gets a lot more attention, and it's going to be asked of him. But with the ball in his hands, he's as good of a playmaker as there is in this draft class, you know, maybe outside of like an Xavier Worthy. He's magic. And one of the craziest things to me, Dugo, is that right now in rookie drafts, Jalen Wright's going as the RB5.
Right. I mean, I think he's a little bit better than that. I think he should be in the conversation for at least top three running back. I really do, because, I mean, obviously, he fits all everything that you need. He's 5'11", 210. He has size, speed, ability. I don't know why he's not getting more love. I really don't. And realistically, he has some decent hands. So this past year, just to give you a little bit of some stats, he had 22 receptions for 141 yards, so that was 6.5 apiece.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when a lot of your stuff is just coming out of the backfield, you know, doing a little dump off, stuff like that, I mean, that's not terrible, dog. It really isn't. So I like him. I've liked him as a pass catcher as well. So I don't know, man. I just think it's one of those things where you just work those abilities and you'll be able to strike gold with this cat, I believe. So really anywhere where this guy lands, I like his upside. I really do.
Yeah, man. Like I said, he's hell of explosive. He has a great build. He's one of the higher testing athletes in the draft class. So like I mentioned, you know, the guy is going as the RB5 this year, at least according to ADP. And when you watch his tape, he looks like an RB1. When you look at any scouting report, they have him listed as a potential workhorse back. And bigger than all of that, I mean, the guy's pro ready. He does everything you need to do at a good level. He's good in pass pro. He got a lot of reps in that playing for Texas, who threw the ball up a ton.
Tennessee,
who threw the ball up a ton. He was elusive in the open field, which is what you need for big plays in order to get that return on investment at running back. And as the RB5, he's currently being projected to go towards the end of the second round in one quarterback dynasty leagues.
No chance that's happening in our league, boys. If you're listening, I'm taking him.
I might take him first. I might trade up for Jalen Wright.
You can't do that.
I kind of need him on my team.
You can't do that.
My second best running back is Keaton Mitchell. Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Shit. He might get Jalen Wright.
Jalen Wright is somebody I like a lot. And honestly, I might take him at the 2-4 before the 2-8. But a guy who I really just can't get.
Too bad I had the 2-3, bitch.
Yeah, and the 2-7, you piece of shit.
Yeah, I'll take him before ya.
Dugo somehow gets the first two picks in front of my picks. Both my second round. I got 2 second-round picks. He gets 2 second-round picks. And all his second-round picks are a pick ahead of mine.
You got him right. Michael. Like Jalen Wright. You got him right.
Jalen Wright, beast. Michael Penix, what is he?
I like him, dog. If I'm going to be real, I think he's probably going to be a hit at some point in his career in the NFL. He's a little bit older, right? Like we've kind of established with a lot of these quarterbacks coming into the NFL this year. Usually they spent a year or two extra, either as a redshirt or what have you. Michael Penix, obviously he's dealing with 2 ACL tears. So he's gone through the ringer a little bit, but mm-hmm. surprisingly when he went to the draft, you know, he came back clear. So I love to hear that. I love to hear that he went out and ran a 4.48 like we talked about last week as well. So it really seems like there are no hindrances from those injuries. You know, you always have those ghosts in your closet, so you just really never know what happens with those. So happy to hear that for him. Really am. I think he throws a beautiful ball. Some of it's a little bit more arcing, but it seems to be right where it needs to be. So, I mean, if you can get it there and you're doing everything, then who cares? I know that there's a little bit of hate with his throwing motion, how it's a little bit slower. They've compared it to Justin Fields-like, honestly. So there's some sort of hindrance or... Let's not use that word again. So there's some sort of hiccups in my ability to say that I absolutely love it. Just because when we were looking at Justin Fields in the past, I honestly liked him as a prospect coming into the NFL, right? And he still has a chance to go out and make a difference for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Justin Love, or Justin Fields, that being. So it's just one of those things, man. Like, I like Michael Penix. I do. It's just one of those things to where I could also see him being a bust because of 2 or 3 different reasons. Like I said, those past injuries that could just end up being a bug to him. Otherwise, like I said, the arching throws aren't amazing. It seems like defenders, especially NFL defenders, can pinpoint those high points a little bit better than these defensive backs in the college level.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could have a lot more batted balls. And then, like I said before, yeah, man, I like the kid, but we'll see what happens. All that being said, I know I kind of just rambled on there, folks. I want to get Jahiah's opinion, though, on Michael Penix. I mean, I like him. There's some possibilities where I think it might not work out, but that's the life of a first-round quarterback.
I have Michael Penix pretty low on my quarterback list.
Really? Okay. Hit me with those reasons, because I'm honestly probably a little bit higher than you then. So
one of the things I disagreed with you on was his passing ability and his passing style. Obviously, having Romo Dunze as one of your receivers is a blessing, and that's great. I see him throw a lot of line drives as a passer, unless he's obviously throwing it deep to where he needs to put a little arc on it. But anything that's 20 yards or less seems to be almost a line drive with like a lack of touch.
Okay.
And I think...
So what, I mean, you say with a lack of touch, I feel like a lot of his throws, I feel like he's kind of mastered like that back shoulder throw.
Back shoulder down the field, 20 yards plus down the field. Like he's a really great downfield passer, but in the intermediate to short area, it's just, it's all or nothing, which doesn't sound bad in theory. But when you're running like a slant route and you're throwing darts and there's no anticipation of where the receiver is going, right? Like when you're just driving the ball and like in breaking routes and you're not anticipating the receiver, and it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't usually end well. But even beyond that, bro, like I don't like his release as much.
Okay.
He has a super extended release, and I think that that's going to be a hindrance at the next level, because you're facing faster pass rushers than you have ever faced before. And if they don't get to you, they'll get close to you. And if you have that extended release, you're going to get a lot of balls swatted or fumbled. But
no, and I appreciate all that, man. Like, I definitely agree with... I guess I am not as well-versed with those short to intermediate throws, just because it seemed like at Washington, all he was doing was throwing 30, 40 yards down the field. So I guess I must have missed some of those.
A lot of down-the-field throws having Odunze.
But, like, dog, it wasn't just Rome, though. Like, he made Jalen McMillan look like a second, third-round prospect. He made Jalen Polk look like a second, third-round prospect. Obviously, they did that stuff on their own as well, right? They went out and caught those balls.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's you got the quarterback doing that. Like, he's obviously put in the correct position at the correct time. He's doing the right thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man. Like, that's just why I like the guy, because I think that he probably had the luxury of having some really good wide receiver prospects in his abundance, right? But you're going to have that same stuff in the NFL in most cases, unless you're Aaron Rodgers on the Packers. So, this is one of those things.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan. I think the age kind of contributes to it as well.
Sure. But like I said, I mean, at this point, dog, I think that a lot of the quarterbacks that we're going to be seeing coming out of the NFL for the most part are going to be around this age.
24?
Probably not necessarily 24, but I have to give this guy a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Just with the two ACL injuries, I don't love. He probably could have came out last year, though, and probably would have been about a late round first, though. So that's the only thing.
Yeah. He's almost 3 years older than Caleb, Drake, and Jaden. Which, I mean, that's not terrible. Like, I've said it before, especially during the Kenny Pickett draft. Hey, age could be actually, you know, something that helps you as a quarterback, because you get more experience, more reps, more understanding. But he's going to be an interesting prospect to watch. I'm going to keep an eye on him. If he ends up in Seattle, that'll be the best possible location for him to land, and I might be a lot more optimistic about him. But anywhere else, I can't say I'm so confident.
No, and I get that, too. I mean, I even think that if he were to end up somewhere like even Minnesota, I think there's a little bit of upside for him, just because I think KOC is a hell of a coach, and I think that he'd put him in the correct position. But at the end of the day, like I said, I like the guy, right? I'm not totally in love with him. I think that there are some flaws, but I think that every quarterback kind of has those in some way or another, especially coming out of college.
His closest comp to me is Trey Lance as like a pure physical prospect.
You think Trey Lance?
Pure really? Physical prospect, nothing else, just the prospect, right? Both big, tall, strong arm, kind of throws the ball like a baseball to an extent. Like, they can really drive it home. Some of the, like, quarterback shit, they're not as refined at.
I feel like he's probably a decent rusher, but we haven't really seen a lot on the field. But I honestly think that his best comp for me, as much as it's probably not great, I kind of Justin Fields. I mean, when you look at that release dog,
like, I just gave Dugo the craziest look.
When you look at the arm motion, everything like that, a lot of it's very similar to Justin Fields. And like I said, I loved him as a prospect coming out of Ohio State. I wanted him to go anywhere but the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my truth on it. I think that Justin Fields also kind of threw a kind of an arching ball as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's just some things that, you know, are kind of similar in my opinion. But, I mean, we also have this guy on the screen now that I have some mixed feelings about. It's another wide receiver, folks. We're going back to wide receivers for just a quick second.
Florida State University, Keon Coleman. Rookie wide receiver coming into the league. Dugo, tell me how you feel about him.
I'm going to give you a quick comp here. Let me know how you feel. He gives me a more athletic Alan Lazard vibes.
Alan Lazard?
Yeah, Alan Lazard, more athletic.
You got to tell me more. I don't understand that one.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the stuff, like, just when you look at the physicals, he's a couple inches shorter. But when you look at the combine results, when you look at all that stuff that matters, it's not necessarily a spitting image, but it's back and forth. So they run late 4.5 40s. So I think Keon actually ran a 4.6. So a little bit on the slower end. But what they do really well is they're good at pinpointing the high point of the ball. And I think that they're pretty decent at running after the catch, too. So they have a little bit of bully ball to them.
Keon made some crazy-ass catches.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I think he's definitely a little bit more athletic than him. And when you look at their builds, they're not necessarily the same. I would say that Allen's probably a little bit more built muscularly.
Allen's just not a good receiver.
Well,
not a good NFL receiver.
I don't think he's necessarily the greatest NFL receiver, but I also think at the end of the day, what he was good at, you know, was being a good pass catcher. He could get where he needed to go. And when you can do that on the field, especially when you're not necessarily the fastest, you're not necessarily the strongest, et cetera, et cetera.
Alan Lazard?
Yeah.
He is the strongest. He's the biggest. He's the tallest. Yeah. Receivers.
But he's not necessarily the greatest, right? Like, he's not doing everything correct all the time. So that's just where I'm at with it. I think that there's things that Keon does really good. Like I said, I think he can high point the ball on the run really well.
Yeah, he's great at, like, those crazy, like, catches that require, like, a good broad jump score.
Yeah, but I just think that at the end of the day, some of their measurements just aren't amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that at the end of the day, Keon will be able to come into the NFL and fulfill a really good hole in a system where he could be a good two. I think that's all he'll ever really be. I don't think he'll ever be a true one. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this cat?
He's like a cracked out Sterling Shepard.
Cracked out Sterling Shepard. Okay.
He's like Sterling Shepard, but better. Right? Like, Sterling isn't as big as this guy is, but a lot of Keon's routes at Florida State came from the slot. He lined up in the slot, and that might have been the benefit of, you know, he doesn't get hands on him at the line of scrimmage. But he's a pretty talented receiver, and he's one of those guys to where it's almost hard to get a comp for him. He's so great in, like, the intermediate game as a wide receiver. He's the guy you would expect to pick up, like, 12 yards on second and 11, you know? But his game is so different because he's like a mid-range shooter in the NBA in 2024.
Breezy.
Like, he's not the deep ball guy who just outruns everybody all the time. He's not the big physical guy who gets the ball behind the line of scrimmage like a Debo or an Xavier Leggett. And, you know, he's not your prototypical Z receiver. He lines up at the slot. He lines up, like, outside. He works in the middle of the field. He runs a lot of his routes anywhere between 10 to 15 yards, and he's 6'4", so he's, like, bigger than most DBs on the field. So he has the ability to jump up and catch it. He's super athletic. I don't know too many prospects like him, but the guy is just – he's a big play almost waiting to happen. There is no, like, true, like, comparable for him, in my opinion. Like I said, he's like a cracked out Sterling Shepard. But will this guy work in the NFL? I think he will. I think he will, Dugo. And I think he's going to be like a... He's going to be a nice surprise for some team. For a lot of your teams, actually.
No doubt. And, I mean, I feel like a lot that you said, I feel like were some of the upsides of Alan Lazard. I mean, Alan Lazard was not supposed to have really much of an NFL career at all. But because of raw determination and, like I said, just being able to be in the right place at the right time, you know, he was able to make a decent career and get a second contract out of his NFL career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying that Keenan Coleman is going to end up being Alan Lazard, but I'm just saying that some of the physical traits give me kind of the same vibe.
And also to clarify, I'm not calling Keenan Coleman and Sterling Shepard like mirror-to-mirror prospects either.
No, I think we get that.
Keon's way bigger than Sterling Shepard in height and weight,
but
their route tree is almost eerily similar. And that's kind of my biggest comparison for the two, not just the physical shit.
One last possible comparison to this cat, Tyler Boyd.
I like that. Actually, yeah, that's probably the one I should have gone with. Tyler Boyd is maybe the best comp for him. Because Tyler Boyd has like a pretty like elaborate route tree. Like he can run routes at every level of the field. And right. He has that big frame to go up there and get it when he needs to.
Yep.
And yeah, I like that comparison a lot. Tyler Boyd's a really great comp for him.
Yeah, just he's a, yeah, like you said, three-level receiver. Kind of can do it all. Doesn't do anything perfect, but does a lot really good.
Okay.
So, yeah, I like that for him. Just watching him, it just kind of made sense.
Yo, so one thing I really want to do is I want to bring back our sleeper segment like we used to do last year.
Hell yeah, okay.
So, you know, for the rest of the draft, I want to bring in one guy, deep sleeper. He's a rookie. Every week that we can kind of inform the audience about.
Okay.
And one guy I really want to talk about this week, Dugo, is Spencer Rattler, quarterback.
Oh, you want to talk about this cat.
We talked about Leggett. Let's talk about Rattler, his quarterback at South Carolina. Spencer Rattler was a guy who a few years ago had a lot of hype coming into the NFL. People projected him to be the QB1 potentially for this draft class. And, you know, things didn't exactly go like that. But he still has some pretty crazy arm talent. For all I know, he could end up in the UFL or he could land in the right position and end up being a good quarterback in the NFL. But regardless, Dugo, I kind of want to hear some of your thoughts about Spencer Rattler, what you've seen recently from him at the college level and how you think that translates at the next level, the NFL.
Yeah, dude. So this guy's kind of up and everywhere. He's been through the highest ups and the lowest downs. So that's kind of why I like this kid.
Why didn't he work in college?
Well, so I think that he ended up kind of working out to the best of his abilities at the University of South Carolina. But when he was at the University of Oklahoma, where, you know, we saw Caleb Williams infamously take over for him and, you know, win that game against, I think it was Texas, you know, where it ended up being that shootout, Caleb Williams, his showcase that day. But I think that it just didn't work out, I'm assuming because he had such a fat head, if I'm going to be real with you. Like, I remember being in college in 2018, 2019, and watching a Netflix special on this kid. So this guy's been in the limelight for a really long time, and I really just think that once he got to the University of Oklahoma, I think it kind of just overwhelmed him, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was, I think, the number one prospect coming out of high school in his class.
Yep.
Out of Arizona of all states. So I don't know if you guys know this, but they put the fucking cameras down in Arizona. They love showing Arizona.
Yep.
So it's just one of those things, dude. Like, I just think that it kind of just ate him up, and I honestly think it gave him the ability to step back for a bit and kind of just reevaluate himself, because I didn't know where he was going to go after that happened, right?
Yeah. But, and he ended up in South Carolina.
Yeah, he ended up going to the University of South Carolina. And like I said, he didn't have like the most marvelous career there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in 2022, he had 18 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,000 yards. So not amazing, right? Then 2023, kind of the same story. He had a 68% completion percentage, 3,100 yards, 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
That's a lot better.
So that's pretty decent, right?
The ratio looks a lot better with touchdowns and interceptions.
Exactly. So I think that obviously, so we touched on his age, and that's not always a sticking point with me. I hate when a guy is over 22 in the college game, right?
Yeah.
So Spencer's 23 currently, so I don't love it. Mm-hmm. But realistically, at this point, we've talked about it all pod. I just think that it's one of those things in the current college year that we need to kind of get over a little bit is the extra year or so. Because I honestly think that it helps develop these kids a little bit more. And
quarterbacks especially.
Especially these quarterbacks. I think that maybe playing an extra year or two in the college game rather than sitting behind someone in the NFL might help some kids more than others.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think that for Spencer Rattler, especially going through the experience he did, I think that he's definitely one of those kids. So I'm not saying right away that he's able to step in and become a number one quarterback on an NFL roster, right? But I think that this experience definitely gave him the ability to go through this whole experience at least more level-headed and more of a fighting chance when he gets to, you know, training camp, where he could be possibly like a Russell Wilson walking into the Seattle Seahawks training camp.
Yep. That's exactly where I was going to go with this.
Hell yeah. So give me your thoughts on Spencer Rattler, because I mean, I'm not necessarily like super high on the kid, but I do look out for him and I hope that he does well.
If Spencer Rattler ends up on the Los Angeles Rams in the 4th, 5th, or 6th round with Sean McVay, a head coach, he is going to work. And I want that to be documented. I want y'all to remember that statement. If Spencer Rattler somehow, some way ends up with Sean McVay, it's going to work. Spencer Rattler was a kid who came out with a lot of star power, like you mentioned, Dugo. He, you know, didn't end up living up to all the hype. He lost his job to Caleb Williams, and it felt like that's when the downfall started. But Spencer Rattler is mobile. He has a decent arm that can throw the ball downfield. He reads the field actually really well, which alludes to how he, you know, cleaned up that touchdown interception ratio in 2023.
Yep.
But he was also good enough to go ahead and make us realize who Xavier Leggett was in his fucking 4th or 5th year.
Not wrong. So I know this is a long shot and everything, but I think that there is some realm of possibility out there where we could see a possibility of the same draft that the Washington ex-Redskins, now Washington Commanders, had with Robert Griffin III being drafted in the 1st and Kirk Cousins being drafted later and possibly being the better quarterback overall. If we see someone like a Drake May or whoever it might be, you know, like they could be, you know, rookie of the year, starter of the year, whatever. I'm not saying that it's going to happen or whatever, but I could definitely just see at the end of the day, somehow, some way, Spencer Rattler somehow ended up being a franchise quarterback for a team for 2, 3, 4 years, damn near like a Baker Mayfield somehow.
Yeah, I would really like him a lot if he ended up with like a really great offensive coordinator like a Sean McVay.
Yeah, he definitely needs a great offensive mind. I'm not sure exactly if he's going to, you know, fall enough to be like a 5th, 6th rounder to the Rams. But I mean, like, if they were to invest in the kid, I really think he's going to go around the 3rd round. That's usually where, like, I feel like these quarterbacks go that have a lot of talent, have a lot of experience, but, you know, might have just not worked out perfectly. That's typically where these cats go. I mean, that's where we saw Tanner, what the hell? I forgot his name already, but whatever.
Tanner McKee.
Yeah, Tanner McKee. We've seen a bunch of other quarterbacks go around the 3rd as well. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, Daniel Mills or David Mills, even
mm-hmm.
3rd round quarterback, ended up being a franchise guy for a couple of years.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. And he'll be 24 in October, I think it is.
You're right.
So a team who picks him probably has the intent to. They probably have a guy who they're going to get out of there soon.
Right.
You know, so that'll be interesting to see where Spencer Rattler lands.
Yep.
Was there any other sleepers you want to touch base on?
Yeah, dude. Actually, there's this cat out of the University of California, Los Angeles. So
UCLA, baby.
UCLA. Yeah, that one song, you know, everyone knows it.
I know it.
Yeah. So, UCLA. So, Carson Steele is this cat's name. He's a running back. He played 2 years at Ball State. So, the guy knows ball. I really like this cat. I don't know why he's not higher on a lot of other lists. I mean, obviously he's a white blonde dude, so probably not the cream of the crop when it comes to running backs. But I think that this guy has the potential to be something in the NFL. He has 4.5 speed. He's 6 foot, 220. So he's a little bit of that power game type of running back, can do pretty much anything for you. And he's young. The guy is only 21 years old. He's going to turn 22 in this next year. So he has not a bunch of miles on his legs. And like I said, I think he's a 4.5 tool cat when it comes to running back position.
Wow, okay.
Ja, I know you don't really have a lot of experience film on this cat, but just look at this guy, see what he can do. What are your initial thoughts on him?
He's going to make a roster because he's versatile, like in the running back room.
Yeah.
He'll make a roster, but he'll be like RB4.
Okay.
He has pretty decent tape at UCLA. Nothing that really pops out of the screen. He doesn't have like the speed around the edge I'd like to see. Doesn't have a lot of explosion I would really like to see. Mm-hmm. He gets the ball. He does what he's supposed to as a person with the ball, but he doesn't really go above and beyond athletically.
Yeah, I think a lot of his runs are ultimately what...
whatever's there. He takes what's there.
What Kyle Brandt would consider mean runs.
Yeah. And
a lot of that, I think.
Like, he'll make a roster. I'd probably pick him up as like an undrafted free agent. I don't know if I would spend a draft pick on the guy, but
he's like one of those cats where, like, you know, like if there isn't like a Luke McCaffrey or someone available when the fifth round comes around for me, that's kind of what I'm looking at. Especially like if Emmanuel Wilson becomes like irrelevant for the Packers or something, then like I wouldn't mind having someone that might be a possible taxi cat.
He's gonna be around there with like Frank Gore Jr.
Oh, on the draft shit. Board.
So you're gonna have to choose between Frank Gore Jr. and Carson Steele. And, you know, you can make a decision from there. But he's cool. Like, he's going to make a roster. I think he has some talent in him. And if he gets opportunity, anything could happen.
100%.
But that's my thoughts on Carson Steele.
Hey, bro, he might end up being, like, the white Aaron Jones.
That'd be crazy.
I mean, bro, he technically runs a faster 40, I think, than Aaron Jones did.
Bro could be the white Christian McCaffrey.
Bro, he was.
Yeah, you didn't know? Fucking Christian McCaffrey's not white.
Oh, shit.
Try to tell you, bro.
Damn.
I'm putting you on game. Carson Steele, running back out of UCLA. Dougal likes him. I'm kind of indifferent on the guy.
He's on the fence.
He's on the fence. But those are all the prospects we want to talk to you guys about today. So once again, we ran through Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Legette, Jalen Wright, Michael Penix, Keon Coleman, Spencer Rattler, and Carson Steele. Make sure you guys click that follow button below. Make sure you subscribe to the Fantasy Football with Gumball podcast.
Yup.
My name is Josh.
Hey, you know, Zuko, we appreciate y'all tapping in with those heads.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.